And you know, thinking about that earthquake, it makes me think about foundations. You know, there's a certain degree to which the building codes and things like that, and how strong the foundation and the structure is to be able to withstand those kinds of things. Now, certainly, there's going to be some destruction anytime the earth moves under your feet like it did there, and like it has in other places as well. But the little tremors shouldn't knock us off our feet. Now, we know that there are going to be big things that are going to happen in our life. But if we have the right foundation, we can overcome that. Ernest talked this morning about the victory in Christ Jesus, and I thought he was going to go on to verse 58 and steal my sermon for tonight, and I thought I was going to have to come up with a new one this afternoon. But he stopped a little short of that, so I said, well, I'll go ahead and preach it. And it may be a little overlapping. We're preaching from the same book, you know. But we're trying not to copy too much from each other. But there, he read verse 57 and 58, and he mentioned 58 just a little bit toward the end of his lesson. But I want us to think about that, where he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Well, how can we be steadfast and unmovable unless we have the right foundation? And when we think about the foundation of the church, we realize how important it is for us to have the right foundation. There are a lot of churches that aren't built on the right foundation. And there are a lot of Christians who have obeyed the gospel, but they didn't found their lives on the rock, on Jesus Christ. They may have obeyed the gospel because the preacher's personality, he was just overwhelming to them. They may have obeyed the gospel because a loved one did. It may have been a husband or a wife. It may have been a child or a brother or sister or somebody else. And they followed in those footsteps instead of doing it for their own reasons and basing it on their own faith. And that's a dangerous thing. Because if we build our foundation on somebody else's faith, then what's going to happen to us if their faith is shaken? What's going to happen if I'm counting on the elders and the elders fall away? Where's that going to leave me? If I'm standing on their faith and they lose their faith, I'm going to be sunk. That's why we have to have the right foundation. I was reading a story. Someone out in Arizona, you've probably seen an old Western, you know, they get those great big cactuses out there with the big arms, and you know, they grow for years and years and years, and it takes them, some people say, like 50 years before they start growing those big arms. And so a really big one could be a couple hundred years old. Big, as big as some of the trees we have, these big old cactuses. And this fellow had one in his backyard. He said it stood 25 feet tall. That's a big cactus. I've never seen one much bigger than this. But that's a big cactus. Oh, those things out there. And it had birds nesting in it. Had honeybees. Had a colony of honeybees there. And it was looked huge and strong and healthy. And of course, you know, a cactus, they live in the desert, so you know they're hardy plants. It's not easy to kill a cactus. He said a lot of these cactuses, they had spots where you could see where somebody had taken pot shots at target practice, you know, with their rifle to get it sighted or something. They put the target up on the cactus and shot, you know, and you could see the scars from that. And yet the cactus survived it. And he said he had one of these in his backyard, 25 feet tall. And he said one day he heard a crash. And he didn't know what it was, almost like a little earthquake. I mean, it just shook the whole house. Around here, when that happens, that's usually some thunder. The lightning is a little too close when the whole house shakes. But he said he didn't know what it was and didn't see anything. Later he walked by that back window and looked out and he noticed something didn't look quite right. He took a closer look and that big cactus, 25 feet tall, great big cactus, had fallen. And he went out and he looked to see what had caused it. And he found that the roots were all rotten. They were rotted. The cactus above the ground looked fine, but the foundation was rotten. The roots were rotten, and that caused the whole thing to collapse. And you know, sometimes that's what causes a building to fall. It's not that there's something wrong with the walls or the roof. It falls from the foundation, maybe eaten away by some sort of termites or carpenter ants or something. May just have rotted away. Any number of things may have been improperly laid. But the foundation is important. And if we don't have the right foundation in our lives, it's going to be destructive to us. Now the good news is that we can have a foundation that will never rot, that will never be moved, that is a safe foundation that can help us to remain steadfast and unmovable. Now you think about that word, unmovable. That means it cannot be moved. Would you like to be so firm in your faith that you can't be moved? A lot of us, we think, I hope I'll remain faithful, but you never know what's going to happen next. The Bible tells us that we can be unmovable. That starts with the right foundation. Jesus Christ, of course, is that foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 10 and following, Paul says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Christ is the foundation for the church. Now we can build on Him. And we can trust that that foundation is firm and sure, and that no earthquake, no tornado, no hurricane, no fire, nothing can destroy that foundation. Have you ever seen the pictures? Maybe you've been there. I've never been there. But have you ever seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Well, they didn't build it leaning like that. When they built it, it was straight up. But the foundation shifted, and it began to lean. Eventually, if that continues, the whole thing is going to collapse. Well, the problem that we have as individual Christians sometimes, and as congregations sometimes, is that we don't build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Or we allow ourselves to move off of that foundation. And there are a lot in the religious world who are moving away from that foundation because it's not popular. The majority doesn't want to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. They want something else. And so in an attempt to please the people and to please the majorities and to draw bigger crowds, many churches are moving their houses onto other foundations. Have you ever seen that? Larry, I think you've got a house that was moved. Didn't you move it from one place to another and put it on a different foundation? Didn't you do that? I was thinking you moved that house. There are a lot of houses where that's happened. You know, they take the house from one place and move it to another. Well, the problem is if we take our church, we take the church off of the foundation of Christ and build it on some other foundation or move it to another foundation, that's not going to work. Because those foundations will shift. If you're building on the foundation of popular opinion, if you're building on a foundation, we talked a little bit this morning about political correctness, If you're building on that foundation, political correctness changes. Every few years, there's a whole new set of rules for political correctness. That changes constantly. But the Bible has been the same for 2,000 years. Some parts of the Bible for even longer than that, but the complete was completed about 2,000 years ago, 1,900 years ago, give or take. So that's a firm foundation. It's not changing. We can count on it. But I want us also to think about us in the church as bricks in that building, as part of the church that's being built on that foundation of Christ. There in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul goes on to say, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." We're the temple. We're being built on that foundation of Jesus Christ. What are we? Are we a firm part that's going to be able to hold up others? You know, the Bible talks about some who were pillars in the church. You know, we've got these beams here. Are you a beam? Are you one of the pillars that helps hold others up? Or are you one of the ones sitting on some of those pillars, needing to be held up? Better be careful. You better be sure of yourself. Because the foundation is important. You know, as we come into the 21st century, I know people like to say, well, it's so different from what it was like in the first century. If you study history, if you look back at the first century and the world in which the church began, the Roman Empire was in many ways a lot like the United States of America today. There was a lot of freedom, both religiously, economically, politically. And there was a lot of freedom to do all sorts of immorality if people wanted to. It was the same kind of world that we live in today. Sins abounded. Popularity led in a different direction than what Christ and His church taught, just like it does today. The question we have to ask ourselves is, which way are we going to go? Are we going to stay with Christ? Are we going to remain on that firm, unmovable foundation? Or are we out there trying to look for something better? Looking for somewhere else? There are a lot of churches that are. One church in Temple, Texas is going to host a polka worship. They're going to have polka music to worship God. And they've got a huge banner out front announcing it. One church in Texas, not far from where my dad used to preach, in Kyle, Texas, just south of Austin, the preacher there has just finished a series of I guess he calls them sermons, on the summer's hit movies. And he's now starting a series based on the television show The Office. Well, I'm all for using things for illustration purposes, and I do that a lot. But hit movies and television shows, and I know there may be some things we can learn how not to from those things, but not a whole lot of good material there for sermons. one church and possibly others are now advertising faith in fitness, yoga for Christian worship, two workouts in one. You can worship Jesus while you work out. How about that? We'll all come together and do our yoga, which, interestingly enough, yoga is actually a Buddhist religious type ritual. I know that the exercise part of it can be helpful for folks, but that's where it came from. It was a religious thing, but it wasn't Christian. And so they're trying to mix. So they want to mix a little bit from this religion and a little bit from Christianity. Take what they want as though it's some sort of a smorgasbord and a buffet where you can just pick a little of this and pick a little of that, and I don't like that. Leave the liver and onions and leave that salad over there, and I'm going to get the baked potato and the steak. And we can't pick and choose. We do what Christ tells us to do all the way across the board. We don't get to make those choices. You know, it's something. Some of those churches that used to be supposedly evangelical, as they call it, fundamental, that believed in the Bible, and now they're getting so far away from the Bible that it's amazing. And even in churches that at one time were referred to as churches of Christ, one in particular in Fort Worth, Texas, offered a prodigal son service in which, as he discussed how when the prodigal son came home, there was a feast with music and dancing, and so they handed out whistles and they encouraged everyone to dance and they had the band play. And where do we read that as something we should do in worship? Oh, I know that the story of the prodigal son, but what does what that father did for his son at home, what does that have to do with worship to God? And then, of course, they had a big feast afterwards. But where are we going? Are we going to just follow the trend? Some have remarked that, well, you know, things are different in the church than they used to be. Well, that in and of itself is neither good nor bad. It depends on what things are different than they used to be. There may have been some things in a church that needed to change, that weren't good, that weren't like the Bible, and they needed to do better. But far too many times in far too many churches, a church that was grounded and built on Jesus Christ as their foundation has left that foundation for something else. And they've rebuilt somewhere else on a different foundation. What about us? What are we building on? What is our foundation? And what part are we playing? We're built on the foundation with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and then the apostles and the prophets being built on top of that. And then where are we? Are we on that foundation? We need to think about what our foundation is. If Jesus Christ is our foundation, then we're not going to be doing things contrary to His will. And we can know by observing our life and asking ourselves, is this the kind of thing that Jesus would approve of? Is this the kind of thing that Jesus would do? Let's just consider one example. Because sometimes I think we say, well, yeah, of course, I'm a Christian. I'm faithful to Christ. Let's consider one thing. Let's consider just for a moment our entertainment. You know, there's nothing sinful in entertainment in and of itself. The time to relax and recharge and to enjoy company. And we had Friday night, there were cards and dominoes and checkers and and computer games, you know, video games, and everybody was having a good time, and I don't know, maybe some of those folks that were losing weren't having as good a time as the ones who were winning, but everybody was enjoying the company, and they were being entertained, and there was nothing sinful in that. But what if we did that all day, every day? And that's all we ever did. We just, from the time we got up to the time we went to bed, we just played cards and dominoes and checkers and video games, and then got up the next day and did it all over again. What about that? I know some of the young people would probably think that'd be hard. That's what I'd love to do. But is that the kind of thing that Jesus would want us to do? No. So even something that can be a good thing can be taken to extremes sometimes, can't it? Well, we know, though, about the entertainment. When we think about our entertainment, whether it be movies, TV shows, books, computer, whatever our entertainment is, games or anything, we'll ask ourselves the question, is this something Jesus would approve of? If we made a checklist, how much bad language in a movie or a TV show or a book, how much bad language would there have to be in there before Jesus would say, you know what, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to read that. How much violence? How much nudity or sexuality? How much would there have to be in those shows before Jesus would say, you know what, that one's not a good one? Do we think about that? Because I know we say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm following Jesus. Are we? Are we following Him? Are we doing what He would do? Sometimes I wonder if we are. Because I find it hard to imagine Jesus sitting down to watch a show that was laced with profanity and crude, vulgar jokes. I have trouble imagining that He would enjoy a show like that. I wonder sometimes, if He was sitting right here next to me watching this, what would He say? What would He think? What would He do? That's just one area. How much of people mocking God, taking God's name in vain, or speaking evil of Christianity, praising humanism and atheism and any number of other things, how much of that would He say, but you know, it's just an entertainment? How far would it go? Again, we already talked about even things where that there's would be no sinfulness in and of itself, like the games and things that we were enjoying together Friday night. We already talked about, well, if that's all we ever did, we'd be wasting valuable time. We wouldn't be good stewards of our time if we just did that all the time. But what about these other things? What about the person who says, well, you know, I don't allow people to curse in my house. And then they turn on the TV and it sits over there in the corner and curses all day long and they never say a thing about it. Or they say, well, I wouldn't allow anybody to smoke or drink or do drugs in my house. But the TV sits over there in the corner with people smoking and drinking and doing drugs all day long. And they never turn it off, never silence it, never stop it. Just let it go on. People who say, well, you know, I know it's not right to have sex outside of marriage. And I probably if their neighbors came out on their lawn and started engaging and taking their clothes off and getting involved sexually, they'd probably close their blinds and call the police. But right there over there in that corner, get that TV going that's showing that very same thing going on. And they don't turn it off. In Psalm 11, in verse number 3, the psalmist asks the question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And when he says foundations there, he's talking about the moral moorings of a society. If our morals are destroyed, what are we going to do? Where will the righteous be if the morals of our society get destroyed? And when we talked about the church being the pillar and ground of the truth, we talked about it being the last, taking the last stand, being the last thing standing between this world and utter destruction. You do realize that, don't you? I mean, just like in Noah's world, there weren't enough righteous people to save that world. God wiped it out. In Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham got God down to, if there were 10 righteous people, he wouldn't have destroyed that whole wicked city. As wicked as that city was, if there had been 10 righteous people, he wouldn't have destroyed it. What do you think is keeping God from returning right now? There's only one thing. And that is, the world's not that wicked just yet. When the world gets that wicked, he'll come wipe it out again, just like he did during Noah's flood. Only it won't be with water, it'll be fire this time. But where are we? Where are we? If our morals are decaying, and we're supposed to be the light of the world, what does that say about where the rest of the world is? Are we happy and content to just continue to compare ourselves to the rest of the world and say, well, you know, we're not as bad as they are? Christ did not come to call us to be not as bad as the rest of the world. That's not what he came. He came to call us from being sinners to righteousness. Called sinners to repentance. Repentance means turning away from that sin. Not just slowing down a little bit. And I know sometimes we look at that person and say, well, that person does this and this and this. Maybe they do. But what about you? What about me? Am I happy to just keep saying, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so? And we've been talking this year, it's only the third week of the year, but we've been talking all this year, whatever there's been, about really making this year different. Are you ready to do it? Are you saying, I'm not ready to give up some of that stuff yet? I mean, maybe I'll cut back a little bit. Are we ready to really put Christ first? Are we really ready to really exalt this church, to really be sure that the church is on the proper foundation? Are we ready to be sure that as individual Christians being built, that we're being built in God's church, and not just rocks stuck here and there and yonder somewhere else? Christ is trying to build His church. He's trying to build His church here at Northside. We have the choice. We can help Him, or we can hinder Him. As long as we're half-hearted, as long as we allow sin to, well, that sin's not a bad one, so it'll be okay if I have that sin in my life. Have that attitude. We will continue to hinder the church. People need to recognize there is something different. I'm certainly not suggesting that we all become Amish and grow beards and give up the cars and get rid of our refrigerators and our electricity and telephones. But I think about what Jesus said about if your eye causes you to be offended, then pluck it out and cast it from you. And I think about how many folks are caused to offend by the telephone because of the
the American gospel all the time. They believe that that way comes. They think they're off to the other. And I think about how many people are offended, caused to sin by the case of speaking to you as a part of my people. I know it's not what I'm talking about. I can't get that up. You didn't use the habit. You lived with that habit one time. Now, are you addicted to it? Has it taken the place of Christ and His word in your heart? If it has, you need to get rid of it. You need to have some certainty to put that thing out. Because these are the things that will undermine our foundations. Now, nothing is going to undermine Christ. The foundations of the church. Nothing's chipping in. But if we want to be unmovable, then we've got to be sitting firmly on that foundation. And not another foundation. The Bible doesn't know that I'm not saying that our fear don't see deep in and of itself is sin. There are a lot of good programs of faith. The question is, are you watching those or are you watching the others? Maybe we just need to get, a little pop of a prayer or a little bit of deeper or, some of the little nature studies and try to have really interesting scientific children, historical children, and say, well, this is popular. This is going on there. But the person asks us, if I watch this show, does it draw me closer to God? Does it help to inform me in some way that's helpful to me? Or does it draw me further away from God and cause me to think thoughts that I should be thinking? Or to allow images and words in my mind that don't belong? Now, this is just one area. This is just kind of like some little area. There are much times in life, because we're out of time here, there are much times that we can't in every area of our life, but we need to do that in every area of our life. That one you need even to pick on, because that's one of the top all of us. It affects the top all of us, right? It's the top all of us. It involves something that's not 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 little microphone on some of the players' temples, you might hear from some of the Jesus with them. But now, they're watching the baby instead of coming to church, instead of just listening, don't they? And we've got a more serious problem. Any number of things can be told to stop with in the Pacific. We have to be sure that we are unmovable, steadfast on Jesus Christ with our foundation. If we do that, we will have a better endurance and worse. A lot of times people watch TV or whatever they do because it's nothing forward. Oh, there's way too much good to be out there doing to ever have time to be bolded. It should never be a problem. We need to think about what we can do and make the changes in our lives that will bring us that firmly on the foundation of Christ. If you're here tonight, and if you're not on the foundation of Christ, if you're not a Christian, you're building your life on the sand. And Luke, Jesus talks about someone who jumped down deep and jumped on the rocks of someone else who just is right there on the ground. And when the flood came, the one who was on the rock couldn't be moved, but the one that was just stuck up in it washed it away. Walked back out from under it. Think about the mudslides in California where the folks build on the, and then the floods come and it just washes the whole thing away. $1 billion houses going down into the ocean because they weren't built on a rock. If you're not building your life on Jesus Christ, you're not on a rock. And you're going to get washed away. Believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, who repent of your sins, confess him, and be buried with him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you're allowing your being moved off of your foundation, you may need to make some corrections. You know, I've heard about some houses that, for some reason or another, they got moved off the front, and they had to come back and get them back on the foundation right. They had to have foundation repair, get them back right on the foundation because they were sliding off the foundation. You need to be sure you're on the foundation. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask you to do so as we stand and as we stand.